This episode is sponsored by Corelation, where credit unions can get more in the core, as well as Allegiant, all-out innovation for credit unions. On the show today, we have Coral Council Credit Union's new president and CEO, Alyssa McCarter-Labor, talking about what led her to the World Council Credit Unions. And then we talk about a little bit about her background. We talk about some pressing issues that she'd like to address right away. We talk about the future of global banking. We talk about leadership philosophies and a whole lot more. So enjoy our conversation with Alyssa. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And we have a very special program today. The World Council of Credit Unions' new leader at the helm is joining us, Alyssa McCarter-Labor. Alyssa, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you for asking. And welcome. I mean, I'm sure lots of people have already welcomed you to the industry, but we're going to do our unofficial welcome as well. So how does it feel to be kind of in the credit union mix here? So, because I mean, I've looked at your bio and things like that. And before we get into the question, I just want to ask a general question. How does it feel to be in the credit union, in the credit union arena, so to speak?
Thank you for the welcome. Well, let's see. This is my third week, so I am still figuring out what's what. There's a lot of acronyms. There's a lot of amazing, committed people. I am definitely an outsider to this movement, but I am trying to get up to speed really quickly and have really found it to be, you know, an amazing opportunity. So
awesome.
Glad to be here.
Well, yeah, well, we're glad you're here as well, which leads me to my first question. So what led you to the World Council of Credit Unions? What attracted you to this organization?
Like many people, this last 18, 19 months has been a lot of soul searching, right? We have been forced to think about, you know, what do you care about? What do you really want to spend your time doing? You know, I'm a working parent. I have three kids. March 2020, I was figuring out how to do remote schooling and hold a job down. And honestly, seeing even in my backyard, the kind of disparity, right, that this pandemic has unleashed, right? You know, friends of my kids' parents who found themselves food insecure. And these were middle-class families. So, you know, I'm giving you a really heartfelt answer because a lot of what led me, to a certain extent, the job found me. Mm-hmm. But when I started thinking about the learnings over this last year of how important community is and how important financial tools and having the right access to, you know, financing is critical. I really understood the value and the role that credit unions have played over the last decades in this country and many countries around the world. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I hadn't been paying close attention to credit unions. You know, I've worked in financial inclusion, and I looked at World Council's membership and nearly 300 million members, 85,000 credit unions that are part of that network. And that's a massive footprint that I feel like not enough people know about.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, part of what led me is I feel like we all need to figure out what kind of change and impact we can make because the world has a whole lot of challenges right now.
Completely. Yeah.
And I feel like there's this really interesting time where there's maybe a unique moment when the idea of cooperative financing, cooperative financial institutions really has a role to play, mm-hmm. has a more important role today, perhaps, than it ever has. So I'm hoping to really try to add to that, to you know, meet the potential that is there, help deal with some of the challenges that are also there. And we'll see. Yeah, I'm still in my listening and learning mode, but it's great. Great to be here.
Oh, fantastic. And that kind of leads me to my next question too, is like, can you just give us kind of a quick backgrounder on Alyssa and cause it seems you had this kind of global career already. And so and it looks like World Council is just kind of adding to that. So give us a quick backgrounder on who you are.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm an outsider to credit union movements, but I have spent the last 20 years or so working in financial inclusion. And that started really looking at ways to design products and services for lower income customers in difficult markets, you could say.
Yep.
So part of my international focus has been probably an intense curiosity to just really understand people and culture and learn because the world is increasingly interconnected. And I started funny enough, I started kind of by chance. When I got out of graduate school, I landed a job in Armenia. And my first few days were as a debt collector. I was working in a microfinance program, and it was not doing very well. And I found myself literally going door to door and sitting in very low-income women's living rooms and trying to figure out, how do I collect a dollar today and a dollar tomorrow from loans that had gone bad? And that stays with me because it really hit home how important it is to design products and services in a way where you really know your customer, and you do what is ultimately good for them is good for your business.
Yeah, exactly.
And so while I fell into microfinance and financial inclusion, especially today, I feel like this is really and evidence shows that the degree to which citizens can be financially included is directly correlated to the level of human and social development in a country. So I'm a passionate believer in the need for financial inclusion. And I have spent so many years trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. And going back to your first question, I really think there's a very important role for credit unions and for cooperative financial institutions to mm-hmm. play and to continue playing.
Yeah, completely.
And not to be left out of all this disruption happening across the world.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. And even though you've been in the industry for 3 weeks now, but you are definitely speaking the credit union language. So you're on your way, Alyssa.
I'm trying.
On your way. Hey, so let's get to the job part here. So what are a few pressing issues right now concerning credit unions on a global level that you'd like to address kind of right off the, kind of some immediate tasks on your to-do list, so to speak?
I'm listening to a lot of people, a lot of stakeholders, people who've worked in the industry for a long time, people who are in the fintech industry looking at how do I disrupt financial markets. So I really am trying to gather a lot of ideas and understanding of what's worked and what hasn't, and what do credit union CEOs, our members, what are they saying? And what I've heard so far is a lot of the things that I find generally are challenges for how do we create more inclusive financial systems with providers in those systems that really do a responsible service to mm-hmm. customers or to members. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, when you look at development impact, which is ultimately why I'm in this business, I want to affect social impact and positive change. You know, dollar for dollar, there's a lot of evidence that shows investing in women and girls and families is really how you affect change, how you affect development. And so how do we think about the aging population of credit union members and yeah. reaching youth and the yeah. next generation? And for me, particularly, you know, gender diversity, which is incredibly important. Those are issues I care about, and I think are opportunities for credit unions who reach every last town, you know, every last village, kind of last mile services. I think mm-hmm. that's an incredible opportunity. How to do that, how to cater to the next generation are things that I'm hearing and that I think are important to focus on. One of the things that financial inclusion has failed to do is this kind of multi-generational wealth accumulation, right? We can do credit or savings, but are we really helping generations accumulate wealth to survive some of the crises we're seeing play out across the world?
Yeah, good point.
Large shocks like the pandemic, yeah. climate risk, storms that we're seeing. These are things that I feel like we, you know, banks have failed. Many of us in the world of you know, academics and policymakers have also not figured out. And so that's something I think, because it's savings as a focus, local solutions, you know, people's money locally, mm-hmm. Local ownership, local voices. I think that kind of wealth accumulation is something that is possible, given the business model of credit unions. Yeah. And the last thing I would say is digital. Yeah. Everybody's talking digital mm-hmm. transformation. We need to keep up. There's opportunities that technology is trying to solve. And so I know this will be a feature. I'm still trying to figure out what does that look like, but ultimately, why I made this move is you have this infrastructure of nearly 300 million members across more than 100 countries. With that kind of reach, there's such an interesting potential to connect those members to a whole suite of products and services through the kinds of technologies we're seeing, the platforms we're seeing developed globally right now.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of things that we need to focus on, but those would be my main things, is we need to really look at youth. We need to look at products that actually help families accumulate wealth and pass it to the next generation. And we need to use technology, not for the sake of technology because it's cool, but because it solves for problems that we've not been able to solve up to today.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that super evident over, like you said, the last, you know, 15 to 18 months or whatever, how credit unions were able to, that P word, pivot so yes. quickly. And a main tool of that was, our main reason for that was because of the digital, or the technology allowed credit unions to pivot so fast. And if we didn't have that, who knows where we would be? You know, I mean, a lot of people would be, you know, it would be a lot uglier than it was. So technology played a huge part. And the other part of your response was the wealth management, or passing wealth from generation to generation. And it still baffles me, even on a global level, why, since money, for lack of a better term, is such this main thread that runs through all of our lives, no matter who you are, why isn't this more prominent in academics? Why isn't it more prominent in schools? Why isn't it more prominent, I don't know, being talked about around the dinner table? Maybe within the family it is, but outside, you know, in academia, you know, what, that still baffles me, because I just remember going through school, maybe you do too, like, the most I learned was like balancing a checkbook. So that still baffles me. I'm so glad you're talking about that, because that is a massive change that I think needs to take place, and we'll be better off for it. Don't you think?
Well, I do think the dialogue has changed a little bit too. It's not about the money. It's not about providing access. It's really about helping people live financially healthy lives.
Right, right.
And so that's, you know, part of it's the tools, part of it's the understanding of how to invest your money wisely. And some of it is just, I think that the ingredients that you need, especially as a lower income family, to try to really save up, right? Mm-hmm. It's very hard to save enough when you have a massive shock, which is why we have insurance, right?
Oh yeah.
But, you know, the fact that Americans, you know, can't come up with $400, you know, for some unintended expense in a country that's as wealthy as ours, that's a real problem. To me, that's a failure of us not having been able to create business models that really solve for that. And again, I think that there's a new moment to relook at how we think about money management, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally on board with that. Yeah, I hope there's steps that we can take. I know your mind is working in that area too. So I hope there's steps that we can take to get there. So that would be, I think it'll just benefit us all just to be smarter. And like you said, financially healthy, all that good stuff. So short-term, long-term goals here. Obviously you kind of alluded to, you've touched on some of these in your previous responses, but any short-term, long-term goals that you want to discuss? I mean, because obviously you still say you're still in the listening phase, and all great leaders are great listeners. So, once you get past that, what do you want? You know, what are some goals that you want to achieve?
I'm still figuring that out, is the honest answer. I know long-term goals, I have a vision of where I think we will get a return on investment. And by that, I mean, you know, the kind of impact on, you know, families and members, which is ultimately what we should be about.
Right, right.
In the short term, I'm trying to figure out what's the quickest way to get there.
Yeah.
And some of that, going back to technology and digital transformation, there's so many different levels of barriers, you could say. Sometimes that's regulation. Sometimes that's, you know, just our own human capacity to understand how rapidly technology and the risks of it, data privacy, security of data, that we definitely need to make sure that we're investing in things that ultimately protect our members, right, and not expose them.
Right.
So there's some of those big issues that I need to get a bit more time of how do we tackle some of the digital investments that I know members are making mm-hmm. in a way that's smart. And at the same time, not take so long that we've missed the boat. Because right. as soon as you have a solution, there's somebody else who's either taken your market share or who's mm-hmm. found another solution. So I think technology is one of those things where you have to learn how to experiment and be okay to fail and have really smart people who mm-hmm. are learning with you how to really focus on, again, the member at the end of the day, not the technology, the journey, the customer journey, we like to say. But, you know, in the very short term, just at the World Council, you know, I think we have some gaps to focus on. We're shoring up some of our team members. We're really looking at growing the member base, responding to some of the urgent needs. I think by tomorrow, we will have sent out a grant to our Haitian member association to try to help with some of the impacts of the earthquake. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, when you talk about short term, there's some things that need to happen yesterday.
Oh, immediately. Yeah.
And we're addressing those, whether I've got the goal or not. In the long term, I think I'm really taking my time to think through how do we invest our time and effort in ways that really elevate the credit union movement in a way that is visible. And so it's not just like me when I took the job, the best thing I hadn't thought about in a while, but it becomes really the fabric of the financial sector in every country because it serves a very important role mm-hmm. For members and for places where people are often left behind.
Indeed. And before I let you go, let's get to know a little bit about you. So what are some of your leadership philosophies or practices that have kind of helped you get to where you are today at the World Council? So how do you put those into practice?
That's a difficult question to answer because I think a really good leader is a humble leader who doesn't just talk about how great their leadership qualities are.
Yeah.
The way I would answer that is going back to my first response. I think in today's day and time, it's really important to be real, to be kind to everyone, mm-hmm. to have respect for every person's opinion. And that means across the world. Because there's a lot of voices and where different people are coming from. And so I think what has allowed me to be successful is I really want to understand, you know, where people come from. I want to share my vision and values that I have and get people on board. When you do those personality tests, you know, I'm the circle shape. I want to bring people together and I want everybody to get along. And at the end of the day, I want everybody to rally behind the vision because I think at the end of the day, as people, we all kind of care about the same things, right? Sometimes it's those small differences that get in the way. And mm-hmm. and so I'd like to think that you know, people enjoy working with me because I genuinely want to do the right thing. And right. I think everybody deserves a chance. So. I
completely agree with you. Last question here. Any advice from fellow leaders that you'd like to share? You don't have to name any names, but you said you've been listening a lot, but any nuggets of advice kind of stick out for you or percolate to the top?
You know, I have a great group of peers and mentors who I rely on, but I have to tell you, Mike, so the night before my first day on the job, I have three kids, mm-hmm. all under the age of 13.
Oh, yay.
My kids decided to bake me a cake
for
mommy's first day on the job, and they each gave me a piece of advice. So my daughter said, "Mommy, don't be weird." My 13-year-old said, "Be nice, but be assertive."
There you go.
And my youngest boy, who's 5, said, "Mommy, just be yourself. It's going to be fine." So I thought that, you know, at the end of the day, that's pretty good advice that they gave me. And I'm going to try to just, you know, take some chances and be myself and work with a great group of people in this movement that I'm getting to know. And hopefully it'll all be fine.
I can already tell it's all going to be fine. And that is ideal. That's perfect advice from your kids for sure. Because that's when you're talking to kids, there's no filter and you get the real deal for sure. So you know that really, really well. So thank you so much, Alyssa. There's so much more I want to talk to you about, but I know you have a job to do and I don't want to monopolize your time, but we thank you so much for your time this morning. And to kind of wrap it up, it's like, I think we're all kind of newbies to the credit union industry at some point in our time, but you're going to discover that this industry, there ain't nothing like it on planet Earth, because the people here are so humble. So it's such a refreshing industry and everybody wants to tell their story. So you're going to be doing a lot more listening and it's going to be a good thing. So yeah, but we appreciate you taking time out today.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for spending time with me.
You are welcome. This episode is sponsored by Correlation, where credit unions can get more in the core, as well as Allegiant, all-out innovation for credit unions.